welcome to the Goddess Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. I'm your host this week and every week when I'm not sick, which I haven't been for a while. I'm going to just touch wood because, you shouldn't say those kind of things, especially this year of all years. Isn't that right, Adam Carroll?
It is absolutely right, Adam Cook.
Okay, I'm going to introduce the third person now, and I should have written something for this, but it's not just Adam and I again this week. Coming in from the wilderness, like... Oh, Adam, can we work? I know it's, you know, we don't do these things live. Can we workshop?
Rolling in the wilderness.
I feel like something caravan based needs to be said.
It can.
It's not working.
But no, we just gave it completely away.
Yeah, it's Gary Bailey. Hello, Gaz. All right.
You could have said I journeyed from the Savage Planet.
But it's too soon. It's too soon. The Savage Caravan. Caravan.
It has been a while for me. Maybe I'm a bit rusty.
How's the Savage Caravan?
It's alright, it's overgrown. I've not been there for a while.
Mick's been in there for a while, trying to he keeps trying to get in there. I'm just going to say, by the way, I'm doing something different this week in terms of recording this. My dog is in the room with me, and I am really on edge that he'll start making noise, and I'm avoiding saying certain words in case it wakes him up. So this is going to make for a really interesting podcast. But you did mention Journey to the Savage Planet, and that is the hottest... Well, it's weird, right? I've seen a lot of people talking about, oh, there's no games in January. And I look at our list of games we're reviewing, and there's like basically 15 being reviewed at any one time. Like, you know, Gary, you and I are playing a game we can't talk about this week that we're both enjoying very much.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of the end of that sentence because we can't talk about it this week. But
you want to,
games.
But you can't.
Absolutely. We've been talking in private and we'll talk again. But Journey to the Savage Planet is the first, I suppose, big publisher game because... Although 505 aren't seen as perhaps, you know, a Sony or a Ubisoft, you know, they are putting out like Death Stranding on PC, and they had Indivisible and Control, of course. Journey to the Savage Planet. I want to say the description I gave when I first played it to Mick Fraser, and I want to say it without anyone thinking I'm being offensive. Journey to the Savage Planet is No Man's Sky if No Man's Sky was a game. That's it. That's what it is. Like,
there's no way of saying it without being mean.
No,
without sounding mean, anyway. But it's.
But I mean, No Man's Sky has come along a long way, Gaz, though, hasn't it? To be fair.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's. I mean, I've not played it in a while, but I played it when they did the. Not the
last,
not the VR one, the one before that, the big update, and that was like that was. It was such a good game. But I think it's. I think I'm kind of unfortunately at that point where I'm like, I can't be bothered going back to it because I know how much time it takes to do anything. I'm just like,
Like, what is this doing so straight away? That
well, it's the thing I felt like after playing a bit of it was that it's a linear game. Right?
Okay.
You have a mission and
so.
Well, that's the thing, you know, I know like a single play. Well, it's got co-op. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But it's a linear game with a story you're following, and there are side quests off of it. But because of the kind of setting, the landing on this savage planet, the exploration of it, although it is linear, you know, you are even following like an objective blip, like go to there, now go to here. It feels like you are uncovering things. Does that make sense?
Like,
and that's quite nice because it feels like it's an exploration game. But not this, you know, like when Ubisoft say, well, not them, a lot of people do it, like, our game is 10 times bigger than Skyrim. It doesn't feel vast. It feels just right. It feels the right size that for a game in January to kind of shake the winter funk away a bit. It's so colourful and vibrant and, like, there's weird alien birds that, like, fart at you and you have to use your, you know, one of the first things you get is, I think it's called Grog or Grod. I can't remember. It's some variation of G, R, O, and D, those four letters arranged in a way that I'm forgetting. And that's like a bait. And there's, for example, there's plants that block your path, and you have to throw the bait in front of these plants to get the little birdie aliens that fart to go up to it, and then it chews them up, and that satisfies the plant, and it opens your way. You get a double jump quite quickly, a little jetpack booster that you can sort of dodge out the way. The first thing you get is a gun. You go and get enough materials so that you can craft a grapple hook, which means you can sort of grapple, double jump. You know, it's And I know it's a very, very overused phrase, but people identify it, they know what it means. There are Metroidvania elements, you know, once you've unlocked the grapple, and there's another one, like there's grapple seeds, so that you've got things you can throw as well as your gun, and like you can get these seeds that make the certain cliff faces grapplable. So once you get to them, you can then go to other areas you could go before. You know, once you get the double jump, you can reach higher points. It is one of those, it is that style of game in first person.
Sounds a bit very like colourful. Metroid Prime.
Yeah, do you know what? I didn't want to say that because that sort of thing could be like overhyping for people, but it's actually even got the scanner from Metroid Prime. And it's actually useful. Like, you know, you scan things, you can zoom in and out, and it will tell you. Like, the game is quite funny. Well, it's humorous. It's lighthearted. I don't think it made me laugh, but it is humorous. It's a lighthearted game, and, you know, you zoom in on things and you understand, oh, that does that. Oh, hang on, so that can be used for that. Oh, and that's, you know, it is quite Metroid Prime-y. It is actually quite, yeah. I didn't really want to say it, but the fact I'm describing it has made you think of it. Maybe the comparison is warranted. I just didn't want to like have people go, what? It's what? It's what? You know?
Yeah.
There are boss battles at the end of each area. The humour is hit or miss. I can imagine some people loathing the humour because it's quite loud and abrasive. I suppose... I'm trying to think of a comparison. It's not Borderlands-y, you know, it's not that far.
Yeah.
Right.
I quite like it. Like, there's a character sort of creator in that you select an avatar picture and it's they're generic ones. And one of them's a dog. And
sold.
This is the thing. It's first person. It's first person. So I thought, this is odd. This obviously doesn't do anything. I happen to be playing with headphones. So you run around and you're panting and making like barks and stuff and doing dog noises. Hang on a sec. No, he's still asleep. It's got enough. Like, it's not like laugh out loud all the time, you know, making me cry with laughter. I think it's a fun game. The only thing that disappointed me is the co-op. And I wish developers would learn. It's almost like they don't know how people play cooperatively. Because do you remember all those years ago, Far Cry 4? 5? Chris and I did a video. And
5, yeah.
It was 5. And the problem with that is that the co-op isn't persistent. It is your... If I am invited to your world, I am in your world. This is the same. So you... It was... You know, Chris and I played together and it was fun. But it sort of felt like... Like he was a bit ahead of me when I invited him, in that he had already unlocked the double jump. I hadn't done that yet. I invited him to my world, and he's now lost his double jump because I haven't unlocked it yet in my world. It's my persistent world, not a shared persistent world. And then I got ahead of him because we were playing for a couple of hours together, to the point where we got the grapple. He checked to just quickly load into a single player game, and now he didn't have the grapple, which he had just unlocked in my world. And I think that sort of stuff ruins a co-op experience because why would you want to do it? Unless you're happy just playing and chatting, and it's quite a laid-back game. It's not like deeply invested. You're not like, the combat isn't, you know, we're not talking Doom or like a Bloodborne or anything that requires that much dedication to master. But I sort of was put off by going back in because if he was now ahead of me, I'm not pushing my story along at all. And I thought that was a bit of a shame.
Yeah, but it sounds a bit... They could have done better with that.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to be the way they do these games, but... I really like it, but... Go on, Ed.
I'll be honest, like... I feel like this game is a hard sell at this time because of its, like, aesthetic and stuff. I'm just looking here at it now and it's some screenshots and stuff, and what you're saying regarding the humour... And like it being kind of linear and stuff, I feel like why would I personally bother when I still have yet to play like Outer Worlds and I still have yet to play No Man's Sky properly, if I'm brutally honest.
Well, this seems shorter.
Yeah,
like,
but
this doesn't.
Does
after
that
4 hours,
it's a cheap game as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is actually. That's true. It is
it's only like 25 quid or something like that. So it's. Which I didn't expect.
But if it's gonna be short, like, like, they'd want to have a really strong story then.
I mean, I haven't finished it, but the story is, it's, you know, it's like you're an explorer for the fourth best space exploration company, which is a little, I quite like. Let's say some of the humor's quite good, and you are gone to this planet that is supposed to be uninhabited, but it's not. Like, you initially find this big tower that you're like, wait, what's going on? So then, sort of under the table, the boss, who is all FMV, by the way, real people FMV, is telling you, you need to explore this, but keep it just between the two of you. I haven't finished it, but there's enough there to make me want to go back. There is a lot of games out at the moment, or sort of coming, so I haven't gone back to it. Like, I haven't played it for a week. We got code quite early. For the price, I think it's worth a go.
Yeah.
It just, I get where you're coming from, but then I think we're also, I know you and I, Ad, are both in the sort of period where we're like, okay, can we have Animal Crossing? Can we have Doom? Yeah. Can we have Resi 3? we want that first big game, but this is probably as big as you're going to get for
now.
Yeah,
and it's like, look, it probably is a good game, but I think I feel already, for me, as somebody who hasn't experienced many of these games yet, I'm a bit already burnt out by the setting. I'm just like, okay, another... Like, I swear I'm looking at screenshots here, and like, there's some shots of the actual like character himself, and then I'm looking at like shots of Outer Worlds, and it looks the exact fucking same, like the same stance, character, like depth of view, all that kind of stuff. So like, that's fine and all if you're just looking for that shorter experience, but I don't know if this would do anything for me. Like,
so I think if the co-op was better, you'd have a lot of fun playing with
possibly
someone.
Co-op, but like, if you're saying the humor isn't even like, if it's loud and like, I don't know, like,
no, I'm being a bit unfair with the loud. Like, it's not, like, don't be going away thinking this is going to be like Borderlands where it's like all internet humor and stuff. It's not. It's like FMV fake adverts and stuff, and
yeah,
and so it's just silly. It's not abrasive. It's silly.
Yeah.
Like I say, it's not making me guffaw, but it's making me smile. Yeah. You know, which is. Kind of what I needed in early January.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I do want to try it. I've got it on PC to play, so I definitely want to give it a go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's quite a slow start, I will say. You know, it does tutorialize quite a lot. But once you get out in the world and you start to realize what kind of game it is, like you say, the Metroid Prime almost, I think people will enjoy it. Like, I don't think anyone would go away going, oh, this is terrible. I can imagine people going, yeah, it's all right, or this is good. I don't think anyone's going to be raving about this in December 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
But equally, I don't think it's going to appear on the most disappointing list. So
I suppose they've got it right. You know, if they're charging £25 for it, you know, you're not going to be too disappointed. You know, you'll go and play it. You might be, oh, that was quite fun. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
That's right. I mean, I've also been playing like the complete opposite end of that is Kentucky Route Zero. Do you guys know much about this game?
Well, no. I've heard of it, but I don't really know much, like, anything about it.
I know that it's a point and click.
Yeah. Adventure game, I suppose.
In ways. I love those style of games, but like, I really don't know much about this. I've heard this name so much. Like, yeah. Kentucky Route Zero has done the rounds. Adam Cook, should I be playing this or what? Because it's there, it's on the Switch.
Should you specifically be playing this? Yes, I think you should. Okay. You specifically should. If Gaz asked me the same question, I wouldn't be quite as sure. I think he would enjoy the visuals. I think Gaz would enjoy the sounds. It's a very strange game that requires quite a time investment. Like, I played Act 1, and it actually turns out some of Act 2 ages ago on PC. And I bought it on Switch because, like, look, this game is talked about as kind of in you know, greatest of all time discussions. And so I thought, I kind of need to get through this because I need to know. And if it's on Switch, I'll have more chance of doing so.
And there's five acts, isn't there?
It's five acts. There's also like interstitials or interludes between them. But I don't remember being there on PC, but I looked it up and they apparently were, but I just don't remember them. It's a weird game. There's a sort of ethereal feel to it. It's, you know, from the very start, you're like, there's something not right. Like, it's a very relaxed game. It is essentially, like you say, an adventure game. You are reading the text, you are making options, you are walking around a bit. But there's no real threat as such. But there's just enough of an eerie nature that you kind of feel like it, you know, in a game like this, if it didn't have that, I think you would lose concentration and get bored. But there's just enough.
Wait, is there a bit of a horror kind of dread feel?
I don't know. No, it's really weird because it's all. It's like the setting, like obviously Kentucky, so it's in sort of, you know, in the States that way. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. I always feel like there's just a slight sense of unease about everything because I can't quite pinpoint, is this real even? You know, is what I'm doing really happening? It's just, like I say, it's just kind of eerie. You know, the first thing you do is you pull up a gas station and it's like there's no one around. There's a guy who seems to know who you are. You don't know who he is. You know, you have to turn the power on for him. You go downstairs and there's like people playing cards in the basement. And then you go upstairs and say, they won't let me pass. And he goes, what the hell are you talking about? There's no one down there. You go back down and they're gone. So although it's not like spooky.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? There's just this kind of permanent nagging in the back of your head, like what is this game, what is happening, what is it, you know. Act one is, I'm told, the weakest, and I enjoyed it. Act two is weird. I haven't finished it yet. You meet people and you have conversations, you go through a mine, you can explore. It looks, I think a lot of people will find the visuals quite arresting. Like, it looks beautiful. It is a gorgeous looking game. I quite like the soundtrack too. It's not like there's blue, you know, voice acting or booming music, but the music that is there is just right. Again, it adds to the feel of the whole thing.
Mm.
I'm going to carry on with it because I have to know. I have to know at this point. Like, everyone's talked this game up so much that I have to know. I think you would really appreciate it, Adam. I'd be surprised if you didn't. I think you would too, Gaz. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm not saying
I'm intrigued.
Wouldn't.
It sounds a bit like Oxenfree in the way that, you know, it starts off with like a mystery.
You're two for two now, Gaz. That is exactly the feel. Not quite as spooky and horrified. Like, that is from the start. You realise that's just kind of that thing.
Yeah, that was always kind of a bit of a supernatural. I wouldn't call it horror, but there's that element to it.
No, but that is exactly this. It is a very similar feel. Act One has, like, you know, you're out in Kentucky in the dark, and like it is very much a what is going on? What is going on? I'm not scared, but there's just enough. It's the atmosphere. That's what it is. It's the atmospherics of the game that kind of make me want to keep going to find out what the hell is going on. Yeah, I'm gonna keep playing this. I probably will play this. I'll play this now over Savage Planet because
any idea how much this is going for?
I actually don't remember. Mm. Hang on, I can find out. I almost want to say, like, watch someone play the first act, but I also don't think you should do that.
No, I wouldn't do that. No,
but like, even looking at screenshots.
Okay,
I mean, it's, you know, I hate to just be like, hey, you know, but it's Annapurna, which
yeah,
you know where I'm coming from, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, the only thing I've seen so far is just the title card, and it just has a picture of some horse. That's it. Like,
that's the live actiony style looking one, or the actual.
It just says Kentucky Road Zero, and there's like a picture of, like, it's just black, and then like kind of. A dark grey horse.
Yeah,
head.
That's the first thing you'll see.
Yeah, so that's all I know of this game. I don't know anything else. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know. So I feel like it's one of those things that I want to go in blind on, because it also feels like something that you can't really explain. You're just going to spoil story stuff, I'd imagine.
Well, I can't tell you. I mean, it's £20 on Steam, by the way.
Okay.
So it's going to be thereabouts. I can't tell you anything about the story because I'm not deep enough in to understand it. And it is, again, it's quite weird.
And what,
like, it's a weird game, you know. Like, you play a character that, like, in Act One, suddenly you're answering questions as that character. You meet someone, then all of a sudden you're answering questions as the other character. Like, there's a fair bit of that, you know.
Okay.
I think you'd really dig it.
Yeah, I'll definitely get on that, I think.
Gaz.
Yes.
The least favourite of mine of energy drinks, but...
Is that just because it reminds you of a certain game?
No. Have either of you ever drunk a Monster energy drink?
I'm not really an energy drink person anyway, but...
It's terrible stuff.
It really is, it right? Really like, is I don't mind a Red Bull, but Monster, I was like, do you know, I've never tried one, and I tried it, and my God.
You're drinking poison, people. Yeah, like, young
just for the record, it. Monster Energy, don't sue me. I know it's not poison.
I just wonder, when someone drinks Monster Energy, like, are they genuinely liking the taste or doing it for the caffeine kick? Because...
I mean, they're big cans, Ad. They're big cans.
Big bastarding cans, and I'll be honest, like... They're foul. They're foul, and the variety of flavours is a disaster.
Yeah, I just like a good coffee.
There you go, guys, the proper stuff.
Have you tried... Okay, here's one for you. Like, not to talk about energy drinks, we will talk about the game. I saw, and I didn't buy it, and it's been nagging me for 3 days, and I've been thinking, should I go back to that shop where I know they've got it? Have you seen that Coca-Cola do energy drinks?
No.
Yep. Coca-Cola do... I think...
So it's a thin can. It was Coke, and it was like... I forget what it was called, but it was like an energy drink for Coke. I'm wondering what that would be.
Will it taste like Coke, but just with a bit of caffeine? I'm kind of intrigued now. Same. I've never seen this.
I like it. Now and again, I like a can of proper full-fat Coke. Not often. I'm a Pepsi Max guy, if I'm honest with you, or a Coke Zero. But now and again, so this is Coke with some energy stuff in it, I guess. Hmm.
Well, look, what I want to ask Gaz, though, is, Gaz, if I have a can of Monster Energy, can I get on a scrambler and start doing backflips?
part of me wants to see the result of this, but not, because I think you'd be seriously injured.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've been playing Monster Energy Supercross 3, which, yeah, I wasn't sure about...
Like, how were the other two?
I mean, like, I didn't play the second one. I played the first one. I reviewed that. I want to say I gave either a 4 or a 5. It was a low score. Well, middle to low score, anyway. It wasn't fun. It had so many issues. And annoyingly, the Switch version of this game has the very same issues. But I played the PC version, which is a miles better game. Like, because the main thing with, like, the Switch one is... its controls are a bit awkward, partly down to the Switch. You know, because the Switch sticks, even the Pro controller, they're not that great.
It was a 5, by the way, Gaz, a 5.
5, thank you.
Just for the record, like, that was 2018. They're pumping these out one a year.
Yeah, because I think... because it is based on the AMA Supercross series. So I'm assuming they're going for, like, the FIFA, the F1, you know, the yearly thing. But... I mean, let's say the Switch version feels like they've just put that first game onto Switch, put a 3 on it, called it a day. You know, like, that sounds really harsh, but it feels like that because it has the same issues. Like, the moment you even graze one of the little barriers, you're off your bike on the floor. Whereas the PC version, I was playing that, like, you'd hit a barrier... The barrier's got physics because they're just kind of like, you know, like the old mats you used to have at school and stuff, the big...
Yeah.
Like in the PE stuff. It's like that, so they just kind of get knocked off. You just kind of have a bit of a wobble and carry on. Unless you hit it hard enough, then obviously you're coming off your bike. But it just feels weird that it's so different to play. I mean, part of it obviously is like the controller. I'm using an Xbox controller on the PC, which is... For one, it's got triggers, so you can actually accelerate and brake in gradients rather than just full on or full off. And the sticks are better, obviously, for turning. And you use the right stick to, like, move your rider on the bike. You know, like,
how does
weight.
That work in... Because I'll be honest with you, I played it, but obviously I edited the video preview and the Switch review and the PC review. They'll all be up by the time people hear this. Watching the game, I sort of was thinking, this isn't going to be for me. But then when I watched it, I was like, actually, no, this kind of looks like Trials, but just a little bit, well, like 3D, like Trials. Like the way you were hitting the jumps and sometimes not hitting them, and it was changing the... obviously, if you hit the jump perfectly, you're going to be able to accelerate out of it. Like, again, like Trials, like if you land your back wheels correctly. And for some reason, I wasn't expecting this. But I was watching it going, this, huh. Do you know what I mean? This might be something I'd like to play.
It is good.
And then you read about the right, you wrote about the right stick controlling, again, a bit like in Trials, you've got the accelerators and you've got your left stick to move your rider to help again. But I was thinking, see, but this is 3D. So you've got your left sticks controlling the vehicle and the right. And it just sounded like trying to rub your belly and scratch your head at the same time a bit.
It's one of those things that I think when you explain it to someone, it sounds really complex. But when you play it, it doesn't bother. Because normally, I mean, like the right stick is like your camera, isn't it? So, like, even in a racing game, it's like you look around using the camera. But on that, that's weirdly mapped to the D-pad. So that you can look left and right on the D-pad, but to be honest, you rarely have to. It's not really an issue. And using the right stick is, most of the time, it's only while you're in the air. So you still use it now and again while you're on the ground, but that's only if, for whatever reason, your front wheel comes up once you've landed. If you land a little bit awkward, that kind of thing, you can push it down.
So but you're not constantly flicking the right stick all over the place.
No, no, but you can use it for like what's called a scrub as well. So when you're going up a jump, you flick it either right to left or left to right, and you do it, basically, it kind of flips the bike a little to the side, and it makes your jump lower, like lower and quicker. It's awkward because it doesn't always seem to work properly. Whether that's because the game doesn't really tell you how to do it, it just sort of goes, here's the controls of how literally to do it, but doesn't show you, so it's a little bit of a shame that way. But when it works, it's good.
It's a good looking game.
So
I want to ask you a question, right, but I also sort of don't, because I don't want to get people angry at us, but I don't think they will. So I edited, again, probably the same we did, I edited the PC review.
Yeah.
Oh, the video review. Then did the Switch one, and I was the whole time you tend to get your head in the game. You just I've got to get this done, blah blah blah. But I am thinking this looks kind of cool. I like the look of this. It sounds good. It looks like my sort of thing. It looks like Trials, and it looks good. It runs butter smooth by the looks of it, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
And then I finished that, and there's a bit where you mentioned the Switch review, and I thought this is a great opportunity. I mean, this is proper behind the scenes stuff now, I suppose. And I cut in a little bit of the Switch review, and I was like, oh my word. Now, I couldn't tell the gameplay. People should read the review of that and, you know, see what that's like in the video review of the Switch version. I just wondered, because the difference is it's fucking stark. Like, it is. And again, you're playing it TV mode, it's blown up to the biggest it's going to be.
Yeah.
And we know the Switch is never going to be able to put visuals out the way a PC can. Totally unfair, we can't compare. But the thing is, it's not the visuals that are the problem for the Switch version, is it?
No, it's the
gameplay.
Yeah, it's basically kind of, I mean, you get half the frame rate, really, on the Switch version, but you kind of, you sort of expect, because, I mean, it's going from 60 to 30, so it's not like it's dropping to, you know, like Shadow of the Colossus on PS2 levels. Mm. Great game, shit frame rate. But it's just like
Bloodborne, great game, shit frame rate.
Yeah,
I might edit that out. Actually, that might have been a mistake.
It's like I've said enough about Bloodborne. I've not had that much hate.
That's
right.
True.
But yeah, it's like, it is, it's down to the sticks and the shoulder buttons aren't too big of an issue on the Switch version. You know, like, I thought it'd be a bigger problem not being able to accelerate and brake, like,
smoothly. The analog triggers.
It still does baffle me why that wasn't a part of the Switch, but that's another thing. But it is just, it's the stick. It's just not, it's weird because it's kind of, even though it's an analog stick, it almost registers 0, 50%, 100%. That's it. You know, it doesn't seem to have anywhere in between.
And the thing is, it definitely does, because I had a problem with that. You know, the drift thing that everyone gets. Well, I don't know if everyone gets, but I went to every single one of my left Joy-Cons, and I've got a few has the drift. Right. Every single one of them. really annoyingly. Even now, my Switch Lite has the left drift. It is infuriating. But of course, you can play with a Pro controller. But that, again, isn't alleviating these issues, is it?
No, because, I mean, some of it is just down to the actual handling on... I don't know why it's just a Switch version. Whether it is genuinely a different version of the game. You know, like, it's complete... Even though they both run Unreal Engine and stuff like that, whether it's just something to do with the physics, and I don't really...
Again, from what I could see, a lot darker on Switch as well.
Yeah. I mean, even, like, messing with the brightness didn't seem to do too much with that. I mean, I had a brief issue with the PC version when I first launched it, because it just had an odd thing where it put on HDR as standard, and PC HDR isn't quite there. And then I turned it off, and everything was just weird. Like, everything kind of looked like it was viewed through, like, I don't know, like a drug. Like a drug-induced kind of... It was weird. It was bizarre. But luckily, just, like, quitting the game and starting up again fixed it. But, yeah, it's just... The Switch version, it could have been good. And it doesn't look terrible. I mean, obviously, when you are
looking at it one after the other, it does look bad. Yeah, but like
full screen, definitely. But when you're playing it on handheld, you don't notice
and,
it.
And also, let's be fair, it's very unlikely anyone listening is going to play this on PC and Switch.
Or very PS4 true.
And Switch. If you're playing it, you're going to pick one.
Yeah. I mean, I hope... Cause, I mean, obviously, I've only played the PC version, but I hope that the PS4 and Xbox versions are as smooth. Because there's no real reason... Because although it's a good-looking game, like, there's enough power in even the base PS4 and Xbox to have this running at 60 and no problem.
Yeah, I think so.
I hope so, anyway. But, yeah, it's a good game if... It's a good game if it's not on Switch, basically. I think is the best way to put it, which seems a shame because I want another racing game on the Switch. Like I know,
with you.
A realistic one, I should say, because obviously you can easily play Mario Kart or Crash Team Racing, that kind of thing.
Mario Kart's realistic, guys.
All right. I know. I'm so sick of all those fucking bananas on the road. Yeah.
Real life problems.
I've been genuinely getting the itch to play Mario Kart again.
You should.
I saw someone tweet the idea, because a lot of talk on Twitter has been around like Smash Ultimate, and I saw someone posit the idea of Mario Kart 9 being called, you know, Mario Kart Ultimate, and they just put like every track, every character, and keep bringing more tracks from all the original games. You know, like Mario Kart Ultimate would be Mario Kart 8 plus all the tracks from 7, and then they bring in like Season 1 where they bring in the, you know, Double Dash or whatever, and then they bring in... And I'm just like, I don't think I realised how badly I wanted that until I heard the idea.
Yeah, it would be amazing because I really don't know where they're supposed to go.
I think that's the only way they can go, isn't it?
Yeah, it's either
you can't release Mario Kart 9 and it's just a load of new tracks with a couple of retro ones, because that's what Mario Kart 8 was.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if they were doing another Mario Kart 9, they'd have to all just like brand new tracks, and the feature would have to include the Double Dash feature, I feel, and that would be. That would be the kind of only thing other than what you just mentioned, which sounds like an absolute dream. I think that would be just Mario Kart, that's it, and it's the ultimate one, and no more is needed.
As long as it doesn't have, like, 10 Fire Emblem characters in it.
Which, I think
everyone's
it should.
Getting so shitty about this.
I think it should, because that's just to annoy people.
Why are people so cranky about it?
I don't really understand the anger behind that. I mean, aren't there like 100 characters in that game?
It's like 80 something, I think. But at the same time, that's like who
he's
cares?
He's a massive Fire Emblem fan. Yeah. Like, just let him make the game he wants to make.
Yeah, exactly. And like, look, you've all those other characters. Like, and I don't know. There's been so much attention towards Smash. As you just said, Ed. Like, I'm seeing I'm seeing Smash more than probably nearly any other Nintendo IP at the moment, and like,
well, you say that, but I mean, all I can think of right now is that Animal Crossing Switch edition.
That is nice. That is a nice Switch.
Do you know what? I obviously cannot afford another Switch, but those Joy-Cons are real nice colours.
I wonder if they'll release them separate.
That is my worry, Gaz. This is what I'm concerned about, because I haven't seen them say they will. I really like those Joy-Cons.
I've been really like holding out though, because I want Nintendo to release better Joy-Cons. I want them to,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that's true. Mine will be sort of lit, they'll drift again, won't they, if I buy them?
Yeah, like, the analog is... I'm too scared of it. I feel like I'm going to break it or something, and...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just, like, when you're playing Mario Kart and stuff, you know how it is. You're just focusing, you're in it. And, like, one of my buddies' analogs, no, it's making it constantly drift to the left. And it's just, they're really Mine's delicate. Up. They're really delicate, so... I don't know. I as much as I love the Animal Crossing one, I would be instantly buying that if it was a kind of a redesign.
Well, let's get into some listener correspondence, Adam, because I know you've played nothing but the games from last week, so I'm going to ask you the first question.
Oh.
A few weeks ago, we did a question that was about Geek Street, like the Coronation Street-style thing, but based on God is a Geek. And this question is related to that. What song would you pick as the opening theme for Geek Street? There you go. See, Adam.
What song would I pick for the opening tune for Geek Street? Well, like, the first thing that came into my mind was The Bill, and I don't know why.
Right.
I just take it straight in, attention demanding. Here we are.
Yeah, that's the Bill's theme tune.
It's the Geek Street theme tune. The Bill is. Is The Bill still going?
I don't think it.
Doubt it.
Oh, Jesus, it can't be, is it? Well, I suppose Coronation Street is still going. The Bill. Tell me, internet.
While you're doing that, Gary, have you got a theme tune that you'd like to...
Well, that's like Bohemian Rhapsody.
It's a long intro, though, Gaz.
You could cut part of it.
You'd have to.
Jesus
Christ. Like what all our heads in the black, on the black background as the opening credits.
Okay, look, a bit of Bill trivia here for you, all right? When did The Bill start, do you think?
1989.
I would have thought earlier, about 85.
Fucking hell, right, jeez, I thought you were going to be like, definitely in the 90s part, because I thought
92.
It was
92.
No, it's 84, okay?
Okay, wow.
It's 84.
Jesus. Wow.
When, what year did it end?
97.
I think it was like 2010, 2011.
Jesus, guess are you a Bill fan?
I'm not, but I remember seeing stuff long ago.
Let's try and go for the hat trick then. How many seasons of The Bill exist?
Oh, fuck.
34.
Adam Cook going straight for it. He's going high.
34.
I mean,
Price is Right, Daniel.
Adam's probably nailed it with that one. It's about the right amount.
37.
Not... No, you're listen, you've lost the plot now completely.
61.
Cam.
42.
There is a total of 25 seasons. Now, this is the one where you can get close to, all right? Last episode of our Bill trivia, our last question of our Bill trivia. How many episodes?
Jesus.
If you could get I'd be so funny if you just absolutely got it. First guess.
307. No.
I'd say
about 200.
About 200?
201.
Okay. So we are saying 200.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. There is a total of 2,425 episodes.
What?
Of The Bill.
We weren't really very close to that, were we?
No.
Like, that's the real... No. Like, imagine
missed the zero.
Imagine meeting somebody who's just going to go like, do you know what? I'm going to start The Bill this week. I'm well up for watching that. And then you're like... It's like, you're never going to get the time to do that, surely.
No.
Are you?
I mean, people complain about the number of, like, episodes of anime series. You know, it's just...
Do they?
It's not, yeah, well, some series, anyway.
Okay, nice.
Because there's some that have got quite a lot of episodes.
Wow.
There we go. Adam Cook, what tune are you picking?
So I would pick a song called Uncle Harry by The Living End, and I'm just going to read you the lyrics to the first few verses and then the chorus. He lives in a small flat all alone in the middle of a rundown street, spends most evenings up the pub drinking what he earned that week. Harry keeps to himself, lives a quiet life. No one can quite remember when Harry lost his mind. Woe... Uncle Harry pissing in the bath. Whoa, pissing in the bath. Uncle Harry pissing in the bath. Pissing in the bath again.
Right.
Okay.
Uncle Harry. How about that?
Yep.
Pissing in the bath.
If you had to compare your significant other to a video game villain, Adam Carroll. Oh, I didn't see the villain part. Oh, well. What would it be?
Well, this is just dangerous. Jesus. Get it.
Yes. What? That's seriously. I mean, you couldn't have even gone for a female? Like, I don't know, GLaDOS?
That's the first thing that comes into my head every time I hear villain. Do you know?
Jesus.
Still, I mean, I'd still be in love.
You could have gone Tom Nook.
Ah, what? Tom Nook. Jesus Christ. No? Listening to him all day long.
I mean, oh God, it's a tough one. It's a tough one, Adam.
The nurses in Silent Hill?
What? Team Rocket? I mean, Pyramid I'm just trying head? To. I'm looking at pictures of just ones that are nice. So, Carmen, there's an article with the Carmen San Diego. Donkey Kong? It was a baddie originally.
Hang on a second. It was, go back there. Carmen San Diego. Yeah. She's not a villain.
I think she is. She was a thief. Which actually now said
come
it.
Come probably... on. She's far from a villain.
Kerrigan from StarCraft before she became the Queen of Blades. Before she became the Hive Mind leader.
Well, she wasn't a villain then, though, was she?
She was afterwards. So, no, I tell you what, from Conker's Bad Fur Day, the great mighty poo.
There you have it. I say Ganon gets slaughtered, you say poo. End of.
Indeed. We've had Farming Truck and even Goat Simulator. What simulator series, Gary, would you like to see next?
We've even had Bee Simulator, haven't we? Like,
well, I was going to say wanking, but that exists.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's the obvious one, isn't it? But that exists.
I can hear Keith clacking, and I'm wondering
I'm just checking.
Googling this.
It's me. It's me. I'm just checking. Oh, has it been removed? Has it been removed? It definitely exists because I got a press email about it.
Wow.
It's literally called Wanking Simulator, and it's free. Oh, and it has been banned. It has been banned from Steam.
I'm not entirely surprised. Wow.
I can't even say Postman Simulator because Death Stranding exists.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
And we had Postal as well, which is quite similar as well. Postal 2 especially.
God, this is a tough one. I can't think of anything right now. You might have to come back to me on that one.
I think if we could even find one, we'll be happy.
I'm gonna throw a cinema simulator.
Well, I think we've had this question before, you know.
Have we?
Because I remember vaguely something about you saying that before.
Oh, really? I would like... Jesus. I can't remember myself, so I don't know. But anyway, I would say a cinema simulator, and I would like to make it, like, pretty good, like, you know, like obviously pretty good, but, like high quality enough in terms of its, like depth and stuff. Like take a similar approach to what Team Hospital does, where there's, like, no one dies, obviously. But, you know, they come into the cinema and it's up to you to maybe, like, have it all organised, the snacks, all these kind of things. But then you choose the movies to suit people's moods. And you have to keep everything running smoothly, all the reels and everything like that. And it's pretty old school back in the day. But it's about keeping the popularity up within this theatre. And something along that lines I'd actually quite enjoy. I'd get a bit of a kick out of that.
I'd go for Game Journo Simulator.
Yeah.
And it's just like basically like a platform game where you just have to punch down all the time.
Okay.
That's the game. Gaz, have you got anything or do you want to move on?
I can't think of anything.
That's fine. Adam, back to you then. In the God is a Geek team, who would you most trust to do the following? I'll stop after each one. Who would you most trust in the God is a Geek team to give a speech at a family occasion with a bit of gravitas and no swearing?
I'm going to say Chris White.
He swears like a sailor.
Yeah,
you're on Forkoff. You heard what he said about you and M&M's.
Well, that's him.
There's a teaser, by the way. Patreon.com/GodIsAGeek. $5 a month. Two episodes a month-ish. Forkoff about food. Chris said some horrible things about Adam Carroll and M&M's.
Yeah, but I feel like a family occasion situation, I think Chris would be switched on. I'm sticking by it.
Fine. That's absolutely fine. I think I'd go with you. Oh, you do like the F word, though.
I love a swear. What do you like?
Yeah, but again, I think you. If I said to you, Adam, I'd like you to give a speech.
Okay, I would definitely. I would. I can definitely say that I would be switched on for that.
I think you'd still slip a bollocks in there.
It'd have to be done, wouldn't it?
Gary, how about you? A family sweet occasion. I would have got Nicola, but she definitely would swear.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd say you, Adam Cook. I think you'd. You'd switch on your host voice.
I am good. Yes, I am good. I am good at speeches. I must admit.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that.
Okay. I mean, I tell you what. If you pick me for this next one, Gaz, I'd be very surprised. The second one is, who would you trust to mind your house while you're on holiday? I think I could do that. But the caveat is, and not eat any of your chocolate. Gary, who would you pick?
I'd go with Nicola.
I think she could be disciplined enough. I agree.
I mean she's good on the fitness, and I reckon with that, yeah, I'm gonna go with.
I'm gonna pick you, Gary. I don't think you're a big chocolate guy.
I'm a big chocolate. Okay. I eat a lot.
I'm still gonna pick you. I think I would trust you.
Yeah, I think
it's implied
enough
that we've asked you not to. I don't think it's just like, hey, look after my house. But hang on, I'm not being funny. If I'm asking someone to mind my house while I'm on holiday, let's say I'm away for a week, kind of saying, look, help yourself.
Yeah, I'd be doing that. Yeah, it wouldn't be fair to be like, no, you can't have anything.
Don't touch my stuff.
Yeah.
You fuck.
Yeah. You might as well just say, you can only use the bedroom. Yeah. You can just sleep and then you're not allowed to do anything else.
Adam, who would you trust?
Adam Cook, you were right in there when I went to mind your house while you're on holiday, Adam Cook, and not eat any of your chocolate, not Adam Cook.
Here's the thing, I would eat it, but I'd replace it. So you'd never know.
On that
subject, not to tangent here, one of the most incredible things I've ever heard, I won't name the person, but it was this a friend of mine's son. And I genuinely said to him, he's a genius, this kid's a genius. So he had a massive party while his parents were away. And the only reason they found out is because when they came back, they went to pick up, use a camera for something. And there were all these photos of the house. And the photos were taken so that after the party, they could put back everything exactly as it was before. And I think that is absolutely genius. Yeah. Sorry, Adam. So who's the person?
I'm actually going to say Gez, because I feel if I went, Gez, will you mind my house? He got, yeah. And if I said, Gez, will you not eat my chocolate? I think he got, yeah. And it would be easy. I feel, Adam, if I had you, I'd be like, Adam, don't eat my chocolate. And you'd be like, all right, mate.
Yeah, right, mate. It was a good idea. Yeah. I respect you for asking. Adam, who would you trust to cook you a nice meal?
Ooh. Difficult. Jesus. I feel if I ate meat... Mick Fraser would be pretty solid. I think Mick would just throw down a fucking hefty steak in front of me and I'd be like, good lad, Mick, fair play to you, boy. I'd probably stick with Mick. I don't know what to see. It's difficult for me because I don't know anybody who would make me a decent meal here.
So I don't want to say the answer I've got because it's going to be like, oh, he's been sexist, but I know Nicola is the cook in her house.
Yeah, she has thrown
she
up
has a husband and a boy, and they both eat the food, which means she must be decent at it. But if I'm going to avoid that answer, I'd probably go Mikhail, because he sends me pictures of the stuff he eats, and whether he cooks it or not, I reckon the guy knows some nice food. But I'm not either or. Gaz?
See, I was actually going to pick Nicola, Like the same reason, like she's always talking about the stuff that she's making for her family, and it's just like
also on Fork Off. I'm learning that she and I have quite similar tastes in food, so I think that I would have a good chance of getting something I would like. And finally, Gaz, who would you trust to pass you an emergency toilet roll under the door?
I wouldn't have thought any of you would be like, no, fuck you, deal with it. Chris. I think, I mean, Chris is a nice, he's a
which
nice
Chris?
Guy.
Which Chris?
Well, either of them, really, but...
Yeah, that's true. I would go Chris Hyde or Adam Carroll. Chris Hyde, because he's just a lovely, lovely man. Again, we all are, but he's just, like, exceptionally nice. And Adam Carroll, because I think there's a higher chance he'd be in the shitter next to me. but I don't
but,
know if I told
but
you
the,
this, got this.
The important thing with that one is... Which one would you plop first?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, and would you be laughing? Would the other one be laughing?
I went in a public toilet last week as we recorded, this is live.
How was
it? You know how people put, it was normally pretty bad, but this is next level. Now, it's quite a posh area, these public toilets are in. Like, the house is, to give you a clue, like the house prices in this particular area range from sort of 600,000 up to past the £1 million mark. It's not where I live, just where I was. That's definitely not where I live. You know how people put like toilet paper down on a public toilet to sit on to try and to not get germs and stuff?
Yeah.
So whoever done this had then, for some reason, just pissed all over that paper. Like, I don't think they ever sat down. And I thought, oh, I walked in and the person I was with heard me from inside go, fuck off, because there was actual human shit underneath the toilet, like a big lump of it. And I just thought... The mind boggles sometimes with these places, doesn't it?
I just don't know what happens.
How? Adam, who would you trust to pass the toilet roll under the door?
I'm going to... There's three people I'd say, either both Chris's or Gaz. I think Adam, like, I appreciate you saying me, but I feel if I asked you, you'd be missing.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel like you'd roll it and it'd roll too far away and go into the next area.
What I'd do is I'd put the toilet roll under there. And you'd see it, and you get it. I pull it away, and you go, okay. Oh, sorry, sorry. And then when I went to do it again, what you'd see is just my middle finger come from underneath the door. I would give it you eventually, but the thing is, you don't want someone mucking around in that situation. You just want the toilet roll. Gary, what is your favourite place name in the UK? Do you have any suggestions? This comes from Thomas McKinnon's that rival Scotland's Ecclefechan, which kind of sounds like a Father Ted joke, like Ecclefechan.
I did say to him on Twitter when I saw this question, I was like, he just wanted you to pronounce this.
Ecclefechan, that's all right. Ecclefechan.
I feel like there's plenty of like really like funny names. I just can't think of any at the minute.
See, down where I'm from, there is just a cornucopia of funny names.
I'm going to Google some funny names. And
Cockfosters.
Oh, yes.
Brilliant.
There is, within 25 minutes of me, a place called Cottagers Lane. There is another place not far called Shittington. Adam, have you got any?
Wow.
Go on.
10 rudest place names in the UK.
Oh, yeah, they're probably mostly down south.
We've got Bellend in Worcestershire.
Oh, yes, of course. Yep,
You've got Brown Willy in Cornwall. Right.
I don't see the rude part of that.
But you might have heard this one. Boggy Bottom. Mm. That's in Hertfordshire. Or in Orkney, there is just Twat.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Knob End in South Lancashire.
Superb.
Fanny Barks in Durham.
Yes.
In where? Where's that?
Durham. Scratchy Bottom. In Dorset, and oh good god, Minge Lane in Worcestershire.
Oh, but like, why are they called these things? Like, why?
I don't know.
Like, it's not even the funniest one, but someone just going, Scratchy Bottom, this will do. Like, where did that come from? Like, where did these things come from?
Have you got a favourite?
Wow. That's a lot of funny names.
A lot of podcast titles for this week, isn't there?
Yep. I think
Sandy Balls, there's a place where you can go I took my wife there for I think her 40th. We went camping at Sandy Balls Capsite. They know what they're doing. Have you got a favourite, Adam?
Oh, Minge Lane was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That is a good one. It's disgusting, but also...
It's rotten, but it's like, you know, it's funny.
The only person qualified to answer this next question is Adam Carroll. Who would win an epic Royal Rumble between Thundercats, He-Man, Mask, and Denver the Last Dinosaur?
Are we talking of the geek crew?
No, between those characters, Thundercats, He-Man,
Mask.
Between
them? Jesus.
I mean, are the Thundercats all separate? You know, or is it like they team up? Because I feel like... Because the Royal Rumble is like every man for himself, isn't it? Oh, sorry, yeah. Every person for himself, I should...
But it's He-Man, though, isn't it?
It's He-Man. It's He-Man.
I don't even know Denver the Last Dinosaur.
No, I don't, but I was waiting for someone else to say
it
first.
The thing is, He-Man has... superhuman strength, and that's
what I mean. Like, and he probably rode in on the back of the what was it called? The thing he rode, the cat dog thing. I can't even remember.
Oh god,
what was it called? Battle Cat. Yeah, there you go. The clue was in the name. Sorry. Yeah, it's He-Man. There's no humor in this. It's serious matter, and He-Man wins, doesn't he?
Yeah, end of.
Yeah. Great name, He-Man.
Adam. Well, his alter ego is Prince Adam, so that's even better.
Yep, that's it. Right.
I just love the fact that it was He-Man, and then there was She-Ra. And it was just like they just couldn't
not
be asked.
No. Last question is the best, and I am gonna require each of you to do it. I'm gonna say if you're easily offended and from Scotland, it might be a time to turn off the podcast and say thanks for listening. This comes from someone from Scotland. This comes from Thomas, and he says, "Are you able to say these things in an authentic Scottish accent?" Now I'm going to read the first in my own accent, and then I'm gonna ask who wants to go first. The first phrase is, "Here, are you looking at my bird?" Who wants to go first?
Was that Adam?
He sounded like he was going for it.
It sounded like it.
For fuck's sake.
Come on.
Are you looking at my... Oh, but why am I going into an English accent then, like?
Do you know what? I will take you doing it in an English accent, actually. I would
you
quite
take
like
it
to
the way
hear
I'll
that.
Fucking say it.
I would quite like to hear you do any accent. I don't think I've ever heard it.
Are you looking at my
this
bird?
Is a landmark just, moment English. For God is a Geek.
Are you looking at my... Are you... Here.
You just sounded more Irish then. You sort of went. You almost went like Northern Ireland.
Are you looking at my bird? I can't do it. Are you looking at? Can I just take my own here? Are you looking at my bird?
No, because that's just you doing it in your accent. You have a little break. You think about what accent you want to do it in. Gary, who's going to go? You or me?
I'll have a go.
Go for it. So, again, just before you do, apologies in advance. If anyone's offended, but we were asked to do this, and we will always do... Well, we won't always do what people ask. There has to be an element of us thinking it'll be quite funny, too. So
yeah. I mean, I will profess this by... I'm not that great at accents anymore, but I'll try. Here, are you looking at my bird?
That's pretty good.
That was good. That was good.
I mean, it's probably offensive to like most Scottish people that sound nothing like that.
No, but it was...
See, I'd have gone deeper. Well, I'm going to have to go deeper. Like, yeah, are you looking at my bird? No, I'd have gone use. Yeah, are you looking at my bird?
Yeah, I think the use is a... Yeah.
Can I go?
I think that's a...
Are you looking at my bird? the least threatening Scottish moment ever. Adam, are you going to attempt this? Are you going to give
not
us?
At all,
you're not going to give them what they want. You know damn well that if you don't do it now, they're going to ask for more in the future.
Just sounded like a porn star James Bond.
The next phrase. See you, your patter is pure humming, by the way. See you, your patter is pure humming, by the way. There you go.
No, that's not bad.
It's all right. So I find Scottish very difficult.
See you.
Yeah, no, that was it.
We've got it. Go.
As the pressure's on here, like I have it, and then it goes away. See you.
You're right there.
See you. Your pattern is pure humming, by the way.
That's not bad.
All right. Out of interest, is there an accent you find that you can do easiest? Like, is there one you can do that you're like...
Well, we discussed this. It's apparently fucking Jamaican just talking the way I talk.
Well, yeah. Okay. So, Gaz, your turn, mate.
See ya. Your part is pure humming, by the way.
Do you know what? That's not bad at all. That's pretty bloody good. The next one. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
I'm going to... I think I might have to translate it first. I don't know what that second word means. Is that head?
Heather?
I'll head him and you header him. I don't know what that means.
You header him.
It's like I'll hard him and you either him.
What does that mean?
I don't know whether it's like I'll take him, you take the other guy, or something like that. I don't know whether it's supposed to be like that.
We don't like to make keyboard sounds. I'm going to have to. It means not comparable, scarcely, hardly, by no means. That doesn't make sense.
Nope.
I'm going to have to maybe...
Let's try that.
Okay, there is Scots slang to English translation, and there's a website called SCO Translate. Oh, it means hold. Okay.
I'll hold him and you header him.
Well, but would it be? I'm gonna have to look up header. Okay, hang on. Headers. So yeah, it's basically assault is what we're looking at here. I'll hold him while you beat the shit out of him.
Okay.
I'll hide him while you header him.
You give him a good hiding, basically, yeah, I'm guessing. Yeah.
I've done it. That's mine. I'm doing the sort of an old Scottish lady. I'll hate him if you hated him. Okay.
I'll hold him, you hate him.
Can't believe the dog's still asleep. I can't. Yeah, it's your turn.
I'll hold him, you hated him.
Yeah. I think not as good as your previous two, but fair play.
It's finally, a tough one, that.
It's not easy. Finally, do you know what? I'm just going to go into it in Scottish. Can what? That film was a fucking loady mince. I'd like to just like it on the record there that I added an extra swear.
Yep.
Can what? That film was a loady mince.
Can what? That film was a loady mince.
That wasn't too bad. Yep. Can what? That film was a loady mince.
Pretty good. So just to apologise again. For all three of us, but again, we were asked to do it, and I'm assuming it's for the people who are from Scotland or are Scottish, because I guess you know I could live in Scotland, but it wouldn't mean anything to me. But if you are Scottish, I suspect you've probably had a right laugh at three absolute idiots pathetically trying to say things in Scots slang.
Either that, or they've unsubscribed to the podcast.
Well, it was a good run, lads. Thank you very much for listening to this week's podcast. You can send questions on Twitter, can't you? At God is a Geek. Facebook, you can email podcast@godisageek.com. You can even Instagram message us if you want on @GodIsAGeek. But just a reminder that if you are a Patreon subscriber, supporter, for $1 or up, you get this podcast early. If you go to the $5 tier, you get the food podcast and code drops every once a month. $10, you get exclusive videos. And $30, you get an insert coin t-shirt that was designed for us about our ketchup question we used to ask. That's patreon.com/GodIsAGeek. I would also, while I'm doing the shameless self-promotion, remind you to go to God is a Geek on YouTube, which is youtube.com/GodIsAGeek. Hit the subscription, hit the bell. We're really pushing into that. We've had a great response. We actually got quite a nice little community there. We get the usual people asking about the name. One person clearly thought that the word we were using, geek, he thinks it meant something else that was incredibly racist. But it's okay because he was a war vet and they're allowed to say that stuff, apparently. So, yeah, do go there and join in that conversation. Adam, Gary, thank you very much for being here this episode.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And everyone else, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.